Stettel on the shortwave on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm your host, Tamara Kramer, and Stettel is a Yiddish word that describes the towns of Eastern Europe where the Jews once lived. Stettel on the shortwave is a show about Jewish arts and culture in Montreal.
Dort zu wohnen ist vergnügen, wo's du's Herz flüstert, du's kennst die Kriegen.
Am Mama liegele,
Papa strammele,
a Kernachsele,
in a Gläsele
ist doch geht, denn kein Geiges weiß man nicht. Wein trinkt man überall, wenn verweist man Kastabal. Hey, digge, 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 digge.
All right, welcome to Stettel on the Shortwave today. We have a really fun show lined up for you. And even though the name of the show has Yiddish in it, Stettel, and I start almost every single show with the Barry sisters who sing in Yiddish, often there's not a lot of Yiddish content on the show, but today that's going to change because I went up this week to Klez, Canada for the day, and I'm bringing you some interviews from there, and that's a whole week of celebrating Yiddish culture in Montreal, and there's musicians from all over the world, incredible musicians from Europe and the States and Montreal, Jewish, not Jewish. It's really a beautiful space to appreciate Yiddish culture in Quebec. And we're going to hear interviews with a couple of the musicians that are up there. Sarah Minna Gordon from Yiddish Princess. She's going to be playing this week on Monday night at the Sala Rosa. And also we're going to hear from two musicians in a project called The Other Europeans, which brings together amazing klezmer musicians and the top of the Roma musicians, gypsy musicians, Lautari, they're called. I learned that this week. So stay tuned for that. But first, I thought I'd let you hear a little bit about what Klez Canada is like from Avia Moore. She's been going there for many years. Let's hear what she has to say.
My name is Avia Moore, and I'm the artistic coordinator of Klez Canada.
Okay. So what happens at Klez Canada?
I like to describe it as a week-long celebration of Yiddish culture. You know, not only is it about lectures and music workshops, it's really about creating community. So a typical day, breakfast is at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we all struggle to get up for 8 and straggle into breakfast and grab breakfast and head off to our first classes at 9. There's two classes before lunch and three classes after lunch. And during those periods, there are multiple workshops running at the same time and multiple lectures running at the same time and occasionally films as well. And then we go to dinner. After that, there's a Yiddish sing-along. And then we all head up to the gym and listen to our amazing faculty concerts, which are world-class concerts. Then after that, there's dancing and the Klez Cabaret, which is kind of an open mic for our participants. They sign up. And that can go on until 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning. That's a typical day, that explains then why we struggle in for breakfast the next morning.
I just recorded a tiny bit of that. Was that okay?
Of course.
Who are you guys?
We don't know.
You just jamming together?
Yeah.
Cool. Are you all from Montreal?
No.
No.
I'm from Montreal.
But I'm from Quebec.
From Quebec?
And you? Newfoundland.
Newfoundland. St. John's?
Boston.
Boston. Okay, cool. Thanks, guys.
One of my favorite things about Klez Canada is that we get to use all the interwords. We have international, intergenerational, interdenominational, interlingual. We really do have an age range that goes from about 6 months old until about 90. One of our main bodies of students is the scholarship student body, which is a program for youth between 10 and 35 years old. And they apply during the year and come to Klez Canada at a substantially reduced rate. So they are mostly musicians, but often writers or people in drama or dance as well. They can come from any area. And that is a completely unique program in the world, so we're really proud of it. And it brings kind of the youthful nature that Klez Canada has. It really imbues the aspect that this is a living culture.
Of people here, like, it is very diverse. So are there ever conflicts in ideology or conflicts in interests or politics? Or
I would say that there's a lot of argument, but I think that comes inherently from it being a Jewish festival. That argument is, you know, it's one aspect of Yiddish culture. Absolutely.
Is there a big kind of religious secular divide here?
I don't think there's a divide. I think there's a continuum.
Because it's interesting, like, it's kosher, right? And there's synagogue services, but there's also a real, like, valuing of secular culture, too. And
we are kosher so that people who are kosher can attend, but, you know, and same thing, we offer services, but they are in no means compulsory. We also offer egalitarian services on Shabbos. But we also have, I don't know exactly, but I would say we have 15% non-Jews attending as well. And that's a really vibrant aspect of the camp. And I don't think it would be the same without that. So for me, the interdenominational from secular to, from Hasidic, really, to non-Jewish, is that and the intergenerational one are the two most important continuums here for me. That's one of the things that makes it so special here.
So that was Avia Moore at Klez Canada. She's really lovely, and she's a big part of the experience that happens up there. We're going to take a little break. We're going to come back with Yiddish Princess. But before we do, I wanted you to hear a bit from this really fun klezmer band out of St. Petersburg. They're called Nayakovici, and they were up at Klez Canada a year or two ago. And the song that you're going to hear right now is called Borscht.
Вот перевели для вас песню с еврейского языка. Группа Нейховича «Москвичи мы». Прописка есть у нас у всех московских. Сейчас вам споем про это. А ты меня борщом в тот вечер накормила, а мне борща того не надо было есть. Теперь забыть тебя уже не в силах, что-то в тебе есть. Я на Балтике родился, со мной матрос курить считал за честь. А вот тебе я ни на что не пригодился, что-то в тебе есть. Прямо папа, что-то в тебе есть. Ну-ка, Макс, а как у тебя дело было? Дело встало за пропиской. Ой, так я с тобой готов на край земли. Мы будем там преподавать английский. Вайли, гобди, хлип. Ой, а если хочешь выйти за еврея, я предлагаю пожениться поскорее, я уже не очень-то здоров. Болею, стало быть.
So we just heard from Nayakovici. They're out of St. Petersburg, and they're a pretty raucous klezmer band. And Avia telling us a little bit about what it's like to go up to Lantier, Quebec for the Klez Canada Festival. And now we're going to hear from a band called Yiddish Princess. The lead singer is Sarah Gordon, and they're going to be playing on Monday night at the Sala Rosa, and you can check them out there or hear what their music is like on their website, yiddishprincess.com. They're a very civilized band that plays traditional Jewish music, very old school, the kind of thing that you'd probably listen to if you were, you know, kicking back in a shtetl somewhere.
I'm Sarah Gordon, and my band's name is Yiddish Princess, and we are a hard rock, pop rock, and 80s rock Yiddish band. A lot of the songs are actually folk songs. Typical of all songs, you know, there are love songs. There are songs about the city. There are also some Hasidic songs about if you don't have money, or if you have money, but your heart's not pure, it's not worth anything. We have some songs about their existential and kind of surreal poetry. So, songs about everything, songs about life.
What's your favorite song that you sing?
Oh no, that's unfair. Well, there are two songs that I really enjoy singing a lot. One is a song that's called Wer wird bleiben, which is means Who Will Remain, and it's a setting of a Avram Sitzkever poem, which is the kind of more very modernist, surreal poem. And the melody is amazing, and it was written by Zhenya Lipodnik, who is a writer living in, and a singer living in the Ukraine. And the other song that I'm really enjoying right now also is a song called Lied von der Gas, which is a song of the street, which is all about being in the city. And that's also by a poet named Bela Schechter Gottesman, who lives in the Bronx. She's still alive. She's pretty awesome.
How does traditional music translate into rock?
Well, I don't think it necessarily does automatically. It's not like we just find songs and then we're like, oh, put this beat under it and it'll work, or sing it in this way. There are certain songs that just seem to, for some reason, lend themselves to it. There are not a lot of them. We work really hard to find them, and if they don't exist, we make them. In terms of lyrics, the human condition is really, it transcends time. So, you know, you're looking at, you know, these folk songs that are hundreds of years old, and they're about love and hatred, and, you know, they're sexy or scary. And that's kind of what good pop and good rock is really about anyway. So mm-hmm. It works.
From what I've, the little bit of like Yiddish poetry that I've read, there's a lot of like sex and death and existential crisis. So I guess that could lend itself. Is there like a lot of sex in your music?
Is there a lot of sex in my music? Is my no? I'm you know. I don't. Is there a huge amount of sex? No, I don't think so. And I don't think, maybe not overt sex, but really, I mean, isn't everything in the end about sex? A little bit. Oh, God, I can't believe I said that. But, you know, I mean, it's, I think it's there in the kind of, in the realness of everything, if that makes sense at all. Mm-hmm.
How do people respond to the music at your shows if they don't understand Yiddish?
I think a lot of the people at our shows don't understand Yiddish, and they respond to the music. I mean, for us, I mean, for me, this music works because, you know, I grew up both listening to Yiddish music, but also listening to whatever was, you know, what's on the radio. So there's, people know what to do, even if they don't understand.
Did you think that you were going to, like, take this to a different place, the Yiddish music, like, take it to this, like, you know, rock, pop place? Is this how you envisioned your expression of it?
Absolutely not. And I really am, you know, now that I'm here at Class Canada, what I teach is folk music. You know, I have a class on traditional Yiddish women's songs and folk repertoire. It started off as a kind of experiment, and mostly just for fun, really for fun. And then it was like, oh, this might actually work. Let's see what we can do. And then we just started to add people and more brains and more instruments. And people really have responded really positively. But no, when we play, people are really positive. You know, they dance, they scream.
Okay, so what are your interests outside of Yiddish music?
Like musical interests or life interests?
Life interests.
Well, I teach third grade. That's my day job, so I'm big on learning. What else are my interests? It's going to sound like a single Zed. Like I like walks. No. Walks on the beach. I really love to travel a lot. I like languages and I like good food. Movies, books, cats. I'm obsessed with my cats.
So what, like outside of Yiddish music, what are your influences?
Kate Bush is my absolute favorite. Absolute. It's a lot, you know, very long love affair. I'm into, you know, girl rockers, so I really love Cyndi Lauper, and I have since I was little. I was not a Madonna fan at all. I felt like it was disloyal, which has caused me a lot of strife since. But who else? Pat Benatar is pretty unbelievable. Blondie's fun. And then, you know, other people who are amazing, Talking Heads. Mm-hmm. Bon Jovi has some real big sounds that are exciting.
Bon Jovi?
Well, no, yeah. But that's one of those things that's a little embarrassing, but it's fun. Like, if you hear that, wah, wah, you're like, oh, yay. Like, I will hold on. We're going to make it. Yeah, I'm sure it. And then other music that I listen to all the time, I listen to a lot of blues, specifically Delta blues. And then other, yeah. Tons of stuff. What's fantastic about the band is really that everyone is an amazing musician and has a real career outside of this. So, you know, Avi is an unbelievable songwriter and guitar player and singer. Michael, as I said, is a really, really well-known klezmer clarinetist and composer and arranger. And Yoshi Fruchter, who also plays guitar, has his own awesome band called Pitome, and Chris plays with tons and tons of people in New York. We're incredibly lucky to have him. He's like the best rock drummer. And Ari Fulman Cohen is an unbelievable bass player, and also it's like a great hang. Everybody is really lovely. And I think that, yeah, having that level of musicianship is also really excellent. I'm definitely like, oh, I sing Yiddish, but they are like in the, you know, they're pretty unbelievable. And I think that that's also why people really appreciate it, no matter what. Both people who are maybe like Yiddishists who are not so sure about the rock, but the level of musicianship is, it kind of wins them over. And also people who are maybe not so sure about Yiddish, it also, you know, music, the music wins. So. First performed, our drummer at the time was wearing like a baboon mask. I think Avi was wearing little shorts, things that he claimed were bike shorts but were probably underwear, and like a little t-shirt and tefillin. And I think Michael was wearing like a red lab coat. It was
since then we've scaled back. It was like, oh, you know, actually the music itself is kind of out there and fun enough. Like, we don't need to be so strange. And also the tefillin was, it was confusing for some people. So
why?
Well, some people were like, it's a little bit like disrespectful, or I don't think Avi's mom really liked it. That's really the point. I wear shiny stuff. That's my thing. I like to wear shiny stuff or pink and black. And the boys tend to wear black or
jam. Can you do any, like, Yiddish covers? Like, Yiddish covers of Blondie or Yiddish covers of Cyndi Lauper?
We actually tried to get Michael Wex, who lives in Toronto, to translate True Colors. And he was just like, I don't think he really likes the song at all. He sent me back this email called with the subject title, Cyndi Lauper Ruined Wrestling. Do you know that she was really involved in, like, WWF stuff? It's so weird. Anyhow, I knew because I remember it. But basically, it didn't really work. I think that it might happen.
Can you sing it like at least a trial cover of True Colors in Yiddish?
Right now? No, because it doesn't actually work, which is so weird. Because you realize, like, True Colors is an idiom. What does that mean, True Colors? So it doesn't work. So the way that Michael Wex translated it was just Pintle Yid, which is like this. I mean, it's like, you know, the spark of the Jew. Again, something that doesn't actually translate. So it doesn't really.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No. True Colors, das Pintle Yid?
Well, that's the problem. See, that's why it's not as easy as people think. It doesn't work right away, and you try things, and you're like, oh, nope. You know, just because you have a good idea doesn't mean it's actually going to work out. So.
Okay. I can try. I don't really speak Yiddish, so it'll be really difficult, but
send it over. You do it.
Herzachzi Shtetl auf in Shortwave auf CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
That was Sarah Gordon of Yiddish Princess, and it looks like they're a really awesome band. They're going to be performing Monday night, and I'm really looking forward to going to see them and see them in all their glory. We spoke in Lantier, Quebec at Claise Canada in what I think was a cross between a library and a canoe shack. I'm not really sure, but it made for some really awesome echo sounds. And now we're going to take things in a little bit of a different direction. And we're going to hear now from two people from the Other Europeans. First is Alan Byrne, and he's actually the director who made the project happen. And he's involved in all kinds of interesting things. He has a Yiddish institute that takes place every year in Weimar, Germany, and he lives in Berlin, and it seems like it's really important for him to bring together people from different cultures. So we're going to hear from him, and then from Peter, I'm going to let him introduce himself, Raushev. I think I'm saying it right. He's also in the band, and he's from Bulgaria. So this is a little taste of what the Other Europeans are about, and you're going to be able to hear them when they play at Théâtre Outremont in Montreal really soon.
I'm a musician, 55 years old, come from Bloomington, Indiana, and I live now in Berlin since 1987. and I'm the creator and director of this project called The Other Europeans. And I'm the creator and director of a summer program in Weimar for Yiddish culture called Yiddish Summer Weimar. I'm a pianist, an accordionist, and a composer.
So can you tell me about the project, The Other Europeans?
There's a lot of hype in the world music world about sort of the exotic other. And in Europe, there are non-European exotic others. Those are Africans and Chinese and so forth. But there are also European exotic others, and those are Jews and Gypsies. And the reason they're exotic is because although Jews and Gypsies have lived in Europe for hundreds or in some cases thousands of years, they didn't have a nation, a national homeland there. And Europe understands what it is to be a European is to be a Frenchman or an Englishman or a something like that. But to be a Jew in the middle of all of these national identities somehow didn't fit an ideological understanding of what it was to be a European. Now, the European Union has existed for some years now, and they're trying to figure out what is it to be a European, not just a German or a Frenchman or something. And it struck me, well, here we have Jews and Gypsies have been modeling transnational European culture for hundreds of years. Let's look at how that works and propose this as an idea of what is it to be an other kind of European. With the help of a musicologist named Zev Feldman, we focused on one part of the world, Bessarabia, most of which is today in today's Moldova, where there was a community of professional Gypsy and Jewish musicians who lived and worked together and intermarried for many generations. And they called themselves either Klezmorim or Lautari or both, depending upon where they came from. And this was truly a community, an inter-ethnic community of people who were working in an intercultural, inter-ethnic, and international kind of way. Mm-hmm. So that music didn't survive much long after the Holocaust. The Holocaust decimated the populations. And then following that, the Jews who came back, many of them immigrated to Israel or to the United States. And so it meant going back and trying to figure out in history what this music had sounded like. There were no recordings made of these musicians in Europe.
So, of the klezmorim and the lautari?
Yes.
Together?
Yes.
Okay.
There were no recordings made in Europe of this particular culture, musical culture. So we couldn't just go back to the recordings and figure it out that way. So it became a kind of a detective story, or can sometimes think of it as an archaeological expedition to try to dig through the different layers of what we know and what we don't know and try to understand what that music might have sounded like. I started off with the idea that klezmer music was one style and lautari music was another style, just because there are those two names. I thought the klezmer music was Jewish music and the lautari music was Gypsy music. That turns out not to be true. There were two styles, but they weren't defined by whether it was a klezmer or a lautar playing. It was defined by who was listening and who those musicians were playing for. So if this community of klezmer and lautar musicians, if they were playing for Jewish audiences, they played one way. Mm-hmm. And if they were playing for non-Jewish audiences, they played another way.
Okay.
Since 1960s, 1970s, the Jewish audiences have basically vanished from that part of the world. So what has survived is this style of playing for non-Jewish audiences. And because the people playing it there are mostly Gypsies, it's easy to make the equation, this is a Gypsy style now. I did feel in Moldova, and this was a wonderful part of this project, that that the musicians that we met there when we came to interview them were open and eager to understand us and our music more than any other musicians that I've ever collaborated with. I've collaborated...
Why do you think that is?
Because they understood that this was an important part of their own history. It wasn't just, let's try to put together Jewish music and Cajun music, or Jewish music and Nigerian music or something. All of those are interesting possible fusion projects. But here, this was, let's see if we can restore a relationship that has been lost for 60 years. And we were We were eager to get their piece of the puzzle, and I felt that they were just as eager to get our piece of the puzzle, and that was wonderful.
How long have you guys been together?
The project began in 2007. We're 14 musicians from 7 different countries. For me, inviting them to Clis Canada, having them be part of Clis Canada, even though we're not rehearsing every day, it's a way of approaching each other culturally, very, very strongly. This is a kind of experience that the Moldovan musicians had no idea exists in this world now. And when I bring them to my institute in Weimar, or I bring them here, it's actually part of the project as well.
For them to learn about Jewish culture, and for you and the other Jewish musicians to learn about their culture as well?
We learn more about their culture when we go there. But they learn, I would say that it demystifies Jewish culture for them. Okay. Because what opportunities should they have to have any image of North American Jewish culture, mm-hmm. being in Moldova or Bulgaria? Mm-hmm. And wild ideas about everybody, including Jews, are in free circulation in the world. So it's important to me that they understand who we are and who we are not.
Why is that important to you?
Because we're building a real relationship with each other, not just exchanging musical ideas. And the way that I conduct this orchestra, and I do all of my projects like this. For me, music is really a form of communication. It's not language communication, but it's musical communication. And in order to musically communicate with someone, you have to trust them, you have to respect them, you have to be at the same level, you have to feel they have something really to offer you, and you know that you have something to offer them, and they feel that too. So it's like a regular relationship. And the more that you connect with somebody's background and share a background with them, the more you can trust them and you have a basis for making music with them. It's a group of 14 people who have all fallen in love with each other, as far as I can tell.
Any language barriers?
Gigantic language barriers, but we overcome them. I mean, in the end, music is what keeps us together.
I'm from Bulgaria.
And why are you here at Clis Canada this summer?
I'm a member of Other European. This is one project which is for Moldavian and Jewish music. And Alan Bern, who is the director of this project, invited me 3 years ago to be part of this project.
Okay. How would you describe the music of the other Europeans?
The goal of the project, it was to compare the music which is it like a folklore from Moldova and in other side Jewish people who was living there and play almost the same music, and how they play together, how what is the difference between the way of playing and something like that.
So are there a lot of similarities between the klezmer music and the Bulgarian folk music that you play?
Actually, we have some elements. We can find some phrase of the pieces which we play in Bulgaria also. That's why I think some of the name of the pieces there is Bulgar or something else. I think the musicians, the Jewish musicians, klezmer musicians, they took some music and they play in his way, a little bit with different ornaments and different feeling. Okay. But both are very, very nice. I like.
Okay. What's it like? Like, have you gotten to know the other musicians in the other Europeans? And what's it like? Like, do you all get along well?
If I understand you well, we we would like to show the people both the klezmer and lautari style, and also we create some music which is we play together and make our sound.
Okay. What is lautari?
Lautari is like a klezmer. Lautari is the musicians, the name of the musicians who play this kind of music. So if you tell somebody lautari music, they know that this is actually this is the folklore from this region.
Are there any Jews in Bulgaria?
Yes, yes. I'm from Plovdiv. This is the second big city in Bulgaria. And there is a Jewish community. Yes?
Okay. So what's the Jewish community there like? Do they mix with other... Is it integrated into the rest of the community?
Yes. Actually, they are in Bulgaria. They born in Bulgaria. They feel like Bulgarian, I think.
Are they religious? Are they...
Yes, they have a synagogue and like everywhere in the world.
So, is this how many times have you come to Klez, Canada so far?
In Klez, Canada, I'm first time.
So, what do you think about it?
It's nice place, nice people, because we have the same interesting about the music. That's why we are here, and I have been in the United States in the similar camp, so I know what is this, but I like the place.
Do your friends or family ever think, wow, it's interesting that you keep going to these Jewish cultural camps and events and where it's all about Yiddish and Jewish culture? Is it...
My wife, she knows many things, I think, everything about what I do. So she was with me in the United States. She was in Canada also many years ago. And for her, it's not something new that I will be in camp like that and with Jewish people. She knows my friends also.
Do you have like a lot of Jewish friends at home?
Not at home. I don't have a lot of... but I have also musicians. There is in Bulgaria very nice musicians, Jewish people. So sometimes I play with them.
Can you speak Yiddish?
No. No, I cannot speak. But I will ask Alan to teach me some words.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
What's one word that you learned?
Lechem. We will have a time this week. So I think when we finish the Klez, Canada, I know something.
You'll know some more Yiddish?
No.
Like,
but I can play something.
What can you play?
Klezmer music.
Okay, so you're learning klezmer music a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Otherwise, I cannot be in the other European project.
Okay, so the musicians, like the Jewish musicians or the klezmer musicians, they learn the Balkan style, and the Balkan musicians learn...
Yes, that is the goal of the project. We will play together. We present the bold style, and we play also some pieces together.
Which one is harder to learn, the Balkan style or the klezmer style?
For me, it's not difficult to play both.
What's your instrument?
Accordion.
Okay. Any last...
Maybe you can come to the concert, and after that will be easy for to tell the people what is the project. Because if I just speak to you what we do, it's not enough. This is music. We cannot only speak for that.
It's a good point. I'm going to come tonight and hear the concert.
Okay, welcome.
Okay. Oh, yeah, wait, I wanted to ask you, can you say your name again?
Okay, if I say in English, can be Peter Ralchev, but we pronounce in Bulgaria Peter. Peter is Peter.
Perfect, thank you, Peter. Peter.
Okay.
So that was Alan Byrne, the director, and one of the musicians in The Other Europeans, and Petar Raushev, as you just heard, who is an incredible musician. I did end up going to see the show that night, because every night at Klez Canada, there's a concert from one of the bands or some of the professional musicians that are there. And I was lucky enough to be there the night that The Other Europeans were playing, and they were really, really unbelievable. I highly recommend going to see them, and you can do that if you want to on Thursday, September 2nd. They're going to be playing at Théâtre Outremont. If you want to get tickets, you can call their box office at 514-790-1245. And they're part of the Montreal Jewish Music Festival that's going to be happening at the end of August. The festival starts August 29th, and there's a free show, a free concert with amazing musicians at the Parc des Amériques at Saint-Laurent Boulevard and Rachel. And on August 31st, So-Called and the Yush are going to be playing at Sala Rosa. There's going to be on September 1st, Adam Stotland. He was on the show a couple of weeks ago doing his Jewgrass music, and he's going to be playing at the Ghetto Shul. Also on September 1st, Octo Echo and Aaron Ben Susan. On September 1st at the Lion d'Or is an incredible concert too with Nozen, Montreal musicians, originally with Damien Neeson. He's from Argentina, and Marilyn Lerner, who's also from Montreal and an incredible pianist. They're going to be playing together at Lion d'Or. And again, Thursday, September 2nd, The Other Europeans. And also on Thursday, September 2nd, a totally different type of band, the Moshav Band from Israel. They're going to be playing at L'Astral. So before we get to hearing some more interviews, I thought you might want to hear a little bit from Yiddish Princess. So this is a little bit of what they do. They have a whole bunch of different types of songs, and they're going to be playing on Monday at the Sala Rosa. So take a listen to Yiddish Princess. All right, so we're coming to the end of Shtetl on the Shortwave for today, and I want to give out a couple of website addresses before I forget. First is the Montreal Jewish Music Fest.com.
to find out about all the shows that are going to be playing starting August 29th. Next is alanburn.net. Alan Byrne is the director of the Other Europeans, and on his website you can find out about all the projects that he's doing, including the Other Europeans. Then, of course, there's clescanada.org, and that's spelled Clez with a K and Canada with a K, all one word. And you can find out about their programs. They have stuff happening all year round. And if you're interested in finding out or even supporting the Clez Canada program, you can get all the information there. And there's YiddishPrincess.com. And of course, shtetlontheshortwave.wordpress.com. If you know of anybody who'd like to listen to this show or shows from the past and they weren't able to tune in live, they can hear them all there, archived on the blog. So we're going to go out with Avia Moore. I thought she should get the last word, and she has such a nice memory. I asked her what was one of her happiest times at Clez Canada, and this is what she said. So thanks for tuning in to Shtetl on the Shortwave, and see you in a couple of weeks for more Jewish arts and culture from Montreal.
Well, I love our Friday nights here, and as a secular Jew, or I usually describe myself as culturally Jewish rather than secular, I find Friday night Shabbos here really, really beautiful. We start with the backwards march, which we all gather at the lake, and playing instruments and singing, we walk backwards up this road to the dining hall. This is a tradition that originated in Romania and was introduced to us by a New York theater artist named Jenny Romaine, actually the year before I came to Clez Canada. And she had heard the story and this special nigunim, this special melody that had been collected by one of the folklorists that comes here from a Romanian man. And he told the story about how in his Romanian village they walked backwards to greet the Sabbath without turning their back on her. And so this was introduced by Jenny, and as part of her class on Jewish processional walking, and it became a tradition here. So even by the time I got here, it felt like they had been doing it forever. I think for me, my favorite moments at Clez Canada have revolved around the fact that I've met a lot of my best friends here, people from all over the world that I've stayed in touch with, and, you know, have become the most important people in my life, really. And it's amazing to have people in Ukraine and Russia and Moldova to visit. And I did this last fall. I went back and went to Latvia and Russia and Ukraine and Moldova, and made it a point only to visit people I had met at Clez Canada. And it was wonderful, and it was so amazing to return people who had come here and to return to them. And that's, I think that's the most special thing to me, just this this coming together of people who are different and are from all over.
So how much longer do you see yourself being with Clez Canada?
I don't know, it's really up in the air. Clez Canada is privately funded, so we are funded from year to year. So we often don't even know if we're funded for next year until, like many cultural organizations, we operate year to year. I know, and it's the same for many of the other Yiddish organizations around. So we'll see, you know. We'll wrap up this year, and then we'll look ahead to next year. We'll be right back.